Eileen chooses this particularly surreal moment to quiver as if electrocuted. Then she shakes her head, yawns, and looks about.
"Have I missed anything?" she asks querulously.
"Not a lot, dear." Her husband regards her fondly. "Breakfast with the Hitlers," I think, glancing between them. "Any news?"
"Ugh."
Eileen hunches like a vulture when she's aware.
"Everything is in order. The central business groups advance on all fronts. Nothing to report today."
She glances at me sharply, then at Ramona.
"I think we ought to continue this in the office, though. Flapping ears and all that."
Billington glances down at the table spread before him. I hastily refill my coffee cup before he looks up. "All right." He nods, then stands up abruptly, still holding Fluffy, and nods at me, then at Ramona.
"Feel free to finish up," he says curtly. "Then you may return to your quarters. It won't be long now."
He and Eileen stalk out of the dining room via a door at the back, leaving me alone with Ramona, the remains of breakfast, and the disturbing sense that I've somehow strayed onto loose gravel at the edge of a precipice, and it may be too late to turn back and reach safe ground. In the end, pragmatism wins. When you're being held prisoner, you never know where the next power breakfast is coming from. So I grab some slices of toast and a plateful of other munchies. Ramona sits hunched in her chair, looking out the porthole above the sideboard. Misery and depression is coming off her in black, stultifying waves. "We've not failed yet," I tell her silently, my mouth full of hash browns. "As long as we can re-establish communications with control, we can get back on top of the situation."
"You think?"
She holds out her coffee cup and the steward, who's still waiting on us, fills it up.
"What do you think they'll do if we tell them what's really going on? Give us time to get off the ship before they start shooting?"
She takes a mouthful of coffee and puts her cup down. I can feel it scalding her tongue, too hot to swallow. Nevertheless, she gulps it down. I wince at the sudden paralyzing heartburn.
"We'll just have to stop him ourselves then," I say, trying to encourage her. "Whatever. It doesn't work that way, Bob."
"What doesn't?"
"The gash."
She stands up, then smiles at the steward.
"If you don't mind," she says.
The steward stands aside. There's nobody human home behind his eyes. I sidle past him with my back to the wall. Ramona opens the side door beside the staircase. There's a short passage with several doors opening off it.
"I've got something to show you," she tells me.
"Huh? Since when does Ramona have the run of Billington's yacht?" I follow her slowly, trying to worry out what's going on.
"In here." She opens a door. "Don't worry about the guards. They're either down below or up on the superstructure. This is the owner's accommodation area, and they're not needed as long as we stay in it. This is the grand lounge."
The lounge is surprisingly spacious. There are molded, leather-topped benches all around the walls, and bookcases and glass cabinets. In the middle of the floor is something that might have been a pool table once, before a monomaniacal model maker repurposed it as his display cabinet. "What the hell is it?" I lean closer. On one side are two model ships, one being the Explorer, which I recognize from the huge drilling derrick, but the center of the table is occupied by a bizarre diorama, old dog-eared hardback novels and a worn-looking automatic pistol, piled on top of a reel of film and a map of the Caribbean. Something else, a set of fine wires tracing out.
"Shit! That's a Vulpes Tesla array. And that box must be a...
Is that a Mod 60 gravedust board it's plugged into? Summoning up the spirits of the dead?
What the hell?"